In 1 week during October 2006, a massive front-page dispute was provoked by a British cabinet minister who invited Muslim women to remove their veils in his private constituency meetings. In the same week, a Muslim police officer created controversy because he was excused from duty outside the Israeli embassy. And Fiona Bruce, a BBC journalist, was criticized for wearing a crucifix during a news broadcast. Just a few days earlier, a Daily Mirror journalist had asked my views on the role of religion in society. He wanted to know if faith was a friend or foe. We are living, it seems, in an age full of the challenges presented by the world's diversity. The political agenda has changed our conversations about faith. Talk of ecumenism is old hat. The new debate is about interfaith dialogue. It is now virtually impossible to find any community insulated from discussions about religion. Christians can talk all they want about doctrine and truth, but actually, as far as our society is concerned, our credibility and acceptability now depends on our willingness to present ourselves as having a different faith rather than a superior idea. For the past 3 decades, the world has been playing cultural musical chairs as populations have migrated across boundaries and different traditions. Not only are we crisscrossing the globe, but there seems to be very little time to settle before new developments send us off once again into increasingly complicated spirals of international relationships. We are now in the global village, where the great religions have come to political prominence in ways we could not have imagined 100 or even 50 years ago. It's not just that religions are growing. They are now growing in close proximity to each other. In the mid-90s, I used to hear a lot about comparative religion. That now feels like a very old idea that suited the academic mindsets of those who studied other people who lived somewhere else. Today's world is far smaller. It has thrown religions together. Ideas about identity, faith, and nationality are now part of one big global discussion. It's much harder to be comparative when faced with an American Muslim who works in the stock exchange and lives next door, or the Hindu shopkeeper in Birmingham who sells you a daily newspaper written in French. If you pick up a phone in New York to call your American bank, which is facing a Spanish takeover, you could actually be talking to someone in India. All of this means that there is a constant community obligation to be conscious of other cultures. And it also means that anything which smacks of cultural imperialism is unacceptable. America struggles with its international profile precisely for this reason. And in the context of Palestine, Bosnia, Rwanda, and Northern Ireland, we are all on the lookout for settings in which religious claims have fostered brutally enforced ideas of cultural superiority. This is precisely what Dr. Jonathan Sacks, the chief rabbi of Britain and the Commonwealth, was worried about when he wrote his excellent and controversial book, The Dignity of Difference. Dr. Sacks's position accurately reflects a good deal of contemporary thinking about the tyranny of difference. If I am right, you are wrong. If what I believe is the truth, he surmises, then your belief which differs from mine must be an error which must be converted, cured, or saved. From this flowed some of the great crimes of history. And so our current social systems have grown to celebrate difference. They hate superiority with a postmodern passion. The economic